The one thing that's obvious is that if you were paying attention at all to what the youth were doing, is that there's a struggle. Sometimes the world will throw everything at us to keep us separate from God and the things that He wants for us. And it will, spiritual warfare, not something that we talk about a whole lot, but something that maybe we should definitely talk a whole lot more about, is the devil and all the distractions of this world are so active in keeping us away from the things of God. And that's what we saw. And sometimes it'll push us and it'll shove us and it'll drag us and it'll beat us down, and the whole time God's just calling us to Him. That's why submission is a discipline. Because some days it's easy. Some days you're on top of the mountain. Some days you're not distracted at all. Some days you've got it all figured out. Some days God is speaking to you. Some days you had a great Sunday in church and you had a great week and you just felt like, you just feel like God is right there in step with you, and that you are right there, even more, you are right there in step with Him. And then some days you are being shoved around, tossed around. And in those days, it takes that little bit of extra hard work. Well, that's where we find ourselves. Let's bow our heads and our hearts for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for these moments that we can share together. We ask that even now, the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in Your sight, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't have to tell you that you need to submit to God. I think if you've been, if you're not a Christian and you're here today, please let me have that conversation with you at some point before you leave today. Okay? We need to have a conversation about why it's important to be a Christian. No joke, this past week, I had one of those unique weeks where on Monday I got a call from, some of you know Rick Ottaway, Rick's wife, Amy, her sister passed away on Monday. On Thursday, I get a text from Rick. Hey, are you awake? I call Rick. Rick says, Amy's brother passed away. Just to say, the youngest, there's the loss. Let me say, yes, on all of those things, it's important to pay attention to the losses. It is important to pay attention to the grief that comes with that. But the youngest and the oldest sibling passing away, had a chance to speak to the other two siblings. Unexpected. Completely unexpected. That's the thing. You just never know. You never know when this stuff's going to happen. You never know when it's somebody's last day. So let me say, if you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't want to have the same conversation with your family that I was having with that family. Hey, do you know if they went to church anywhere? Hey, did they have a faith stance? Do you know if they have accepted, if they ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? That is not a good conversation to have with a family. I like to hear, yes, not only did they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they were active in their Sunday school, they were active in their church, they were active in their men's group, they were active in their women's group, they were active in their Bible stuff, they were active in choir. Now, not that any of those things makes you a Christian, but it does point us in a direction that says you had a faith commitment to Jesus Christ. That's not what the sermon's about, necessarily. It's about you who are Christians. And if you're here today and you are a Christian, I don't need to convince you, like I said, that you need to submit to Jesus Christ. You know that. There are different ways that people get other people to submit. Miss Lynn talked about it earlier in her children's sermon. Sometimes if you have a sibling, they beat you into submission. And that's one way to get somebody to submit. You can beat somebody into submission. You can scare him into submission. You can do all kinds of things to get somebody to submit. For some reason, however, Jesus doesn't do that. He does not beat us into submission when people, especially in my profession, I want people to go to church on Sundays. But if people don't go to church on Sundays, God doesn't show up at their house on Monday morning with a big lightning bolt. That's not what happens. I promise you that only needs to happen one time, though, before everybody's in church on Sunday. And Wednesday night, probably. But that's not how it works. Jesus doesn't beat us into submission. He just asks us to trust him. And trust is hard. As a matter of fact, this story, I think, illustrates it pretty well. There was a man named Jack who was walking along a steep cliff one day when he was taking a hike, and he accidentally got too close to the edge of the cliff, and he fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch, really not much more than a twig, and that branch temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down, and to his horror, he saw a canyon that fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. And so Jack began to do the only thing that Jack could think to do. Jack began to cry out for help. "Help! Help!" he says. "Is there anyone up there? Help!" He yelled for hours, but no one heard him, and he was about to give up when Jack heard a voice. "Jack, Jack," said the voice, "can you hear me?" "Yes, yes, I can hear you," says Jack. "I'm down here." "I can see you," said the voice. "Are you all right?" "Yes, yes, but who are you? And where are you?" "Well, I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere." Jack paused for a minute. "The Lord? You mean God?" "That's me," says the voice. "God," says Jack, "please help me. I promise," and this is where Jack starts to sound a little bit like us, "I promise that if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning, I'll be a really good person, I'll go to church every Sunday." "Easy on the promises," says the voice. "Let's just get you down from there and then we can talk. Now here's what I want you to do, Jack. I want you to listen carefully. This is what I want you to do." "I'll do anything, Lord. Just get me down from here." "Jack, I want you to let go of the branch." "What?" says Jack. "Jack, I said let go. Just trust me. Let go of the branch." There was a long silence. Finally, Jack yelled, "Help, help, is anyone else up there?" Submission, the discipline of submission, is found and caught in that story. Submission to God is when we let go of the branch. Now, I think about Jack, and this, of course, is a made-up story. Some of you may have heard it before. I know I've told it a couple times before. But I'm thinking about Jack hanging there on the branch, and here he hears this voice, and I wonder if Jack's got a family. And Jack thinks, well, if I let go of the branch and I trust God, what's going to happen to my family? What if, because you ever what if God? What if this isn't God? Man, I've heard that one. What if this isn't God telling me to do this? What if it's something else? What if this is just this really bad idea? What if it's my own mind talking to me and you start justifying yourself out of the will of God? And how is this going to affect my family? How is this going to affect my social standing? How is this going to affect the people around me, the people that I care about? Submission's tough. Doing the will of God is tough. It's difficult because it's letting go. I battle all the time with who Christ is and what Jesus would do. For me, the scariest question in my life is still, what would Jesus do? Because it's a day-by-day question. What would Jesus do in this scenario? What would Jesus do when that person cuts him off in traffic? Because I know what I want to do. What would Jesus do with this anger? What would Jesus do when he's hurt? And I find that the things that Jesus would do aren't necessarily the things that I would do. What would Jesus do, or how would Jesus love someone? Who would Jesus love? What are the things that Jesus talk about every day? Did Jesus pray a lot? Did Jesus fast a lot? Do I pray a lot? Do I fast a lot? I'm going to send you home with some homework. Then I'll bring this thing to a close. I want you to take a piece of paper when you get home. And I want you to divide it into two sections. You can be top, bottom, back, forward, front, side to side. I don't care how you divide it. Just divide it into two sections, maybe two columns. And on one side, I want you to have a section, the things Jesus talked about. And the other section, I want you to have the things I talk about. And it can be every day. What are some of the things that Jesus talked about every day? He definitely talked about God the Father. He talked about his relationship with God the Father. He definitely talked about us being enslaved to material things, to money, to all of those things. He talked about prayer. He talked about fasting. As a matter of fact, just let me lay this out there for you. A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon on fasting. Some of you probably remember this sermon. How many of you have fasted since then? You don't have to raise your hand. I preached a sermon about prayer. How many of you have increased? Come on, we've got room to increase our prayer lives. I've preached time and time again about memorizing Scripture, time and time again about reading your Bible more. How many of you have increased your Bible reading? They are the things that Jesus talked about. They're the things that Jesus do. They're the people that Jesus loved. And I want to know if I'm doing the same thing, if I'm talking about the same things that Jesus is talking about. Because Jesus talked about fasting. He talked about prayer. He talked about heaven. He talked about hell. He talked about discipleship. As a matter of fact, he actively went into the world recruiting people for the kingdom and bringing people into the kingdom of God. Everyone from the tax collectors to the very richest, from the whores, to the drunks, to everyone, Jesus reached out and brought those people into the kingdom of God. Is that my life? Is that what I'm doing as well? And if it's not your life, then you're not submitting to the will of God. Man. I wish and I long for the day when we as a community of faith, just as the church, I have long given up on the America as a Christian nation thing. Because I know we don't have 330 million Christians in America. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure we've got 100 million, one-third of the people out there evangelizing the world for Jesus Christ. Now, we're evangelizing the world for a lot of reasons. But bringing people into love and bringing people into the kingdom through love and compassion and grace and mercy, so a list. On one side, the things that you talk about, and just underneath that, the things that you do. And on the other side, the things that Jesus talked about and the things that Jesus did. The way that he loved. The way that he cared for people. That's how submission happens. But Rudy, what about? So here's a scenario that the thing I had written in my sermon that I wasn't really sure I would bring it up or not. Guy walks into the back of the church. He's got a gun. Did Jesus shoot him? I don't know. I don't know. Does Jesus pull the trigger? He can. And if I'm Jesus. I went to a church security conference one. This is right after, this was a few years ago, right after all those shootings were happening. And there was a whole bunch of people. It was at a Baptist church. And I remember listening to some men in the scenario talking about what they would do. Usually the conversation starts with, I'll tell you what I'd do. And they were talking about placing snipers around the church and laughing about taking a human life. I don't have that in me. And that's not, this is not a statement on what, or on church policy or anything like that. This is a statement about us lining up our lives as individuals with Jesus Christ, because it's not just that scenario. That's not all the only thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about loving people. I'm talking about caring for people. I'm talking about how we see material things as opposed to the way Jesus saw material things. I'm talking about the things that Jesus owned and the things that we own. I'm talking about the things that we stress over as opposed to the things that Jesus stressed over, because Jesus stressed over souls. He stressed over people coming to know his heavenly Father. That's what he looked at. He went to the cross so that people can have a relationship with his heavenly Father, with him. And man, we are about something else. Is my last sermon yet, Mark? Is that enough? Submission. I have it written down in my notes. For me, the most difficult of all the spiritual disciplines. Because I don't know if my will lines up with God's will. Because God's will is hard. So, for those of you who said, you've heard me say before, I'm going on a journey. Some of you said, Rudy, I'm going on this journey with you. Not many of you. And now you know why. And even those of you who are coming with me, do you still want to go? The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.